We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to Untangle. I'm Patricia Karpus. I am super excited about today's guest, Rob Dupe, a dear friend, brilliant entrepreneur, author, and all-around pretty phenomenal human. His new book is co-authored with Gino Wickman, the creator of the Entrepreneurial Operating System and author of the book Traction. Their new book is called Shine, the 10 Disciplines for Maximizing Your Energy, Impact, and Peace. It is the handbook for type A entrepreneurs who want to begin looking inward, finding more balance while being successful at life and at work. Their premise is that their drive often takes a toll on their teams, personal relationships, and even their health. It's all about finding that delicate balance between our internal and external worlds, something we all can relate to. Rob shares how they define true self, how to make decisions based on love, not fear, and the 10 disciplines that have worked for many entrepreneurs. As always, we're Untangle, the podcast from Muse, the brain sensing headband dedicated to unlocking your brain's potential, and Meditation Studio, the 5-star app. Check out all the free meditations at choosemuse.com/meditationstudio. Now, here's Rob. Rob, I am so excited to have you back on Untangle. Thank you for being here and talking about your new book. So exciting.
Thank you for having me, Patricia. It is an honor and humbling on so many levels. I can't even describe it, so I won't, but thank you.
You're so funny. You're so funny. This is your second book, and we're going to talk about it because I think it supports everyone who wants to have a better life, to be their best selves, to have more self-awareness. But you wrote this book for entrepreneurs to help them look inward. And you make a lot of distinctions in the book about looking inward versus looking outwards. But let's start with, what was your inspiration for writing this book? And what led you to this work, to discovering these 10 disciplines, if you will?
Well, my co-author and very good friend, Gino Wickman, and I partnered up on this. The two of us have had a long relationship together. It dates back over 20 years, and he came into a company that I was running at the time and that I had founded, and really helped us gain control of how we were running the company. It was all over the place. Our friendship, as I mentioned, continued. And over the years, as we get together, he would share these different ways that he was living his life. We might talk about some of them today. As you fast forward, he created them and called them the 10 disciplines. And when I read those, I looked back on the time that the two of us had spent together, and I thought to myself, those were all those things that I was curious about. And I would ask him about how he was doing this in his life. And I would try to incorporate them in my life, and ultimately did to a certain degree. When he did finally write them in an organized fashion, I said to him, these are really special, and I think we could take these to the world because I think they can change a lot of lives. So the two of us partnered up and have done that in the book and also through a business that we started called The 10 Disciplines.
Let me ask you this. What was missing for you that led you to say, oh yeah, I need these 10 disciplines? And I guess that might be similar to the question of what are some of the common characteristics of entrepreneurs? What's happening there that we need this kind of advice?
What we learned in writing the book is that entrepreneurs, and really to a large degree, people in leadership roles, and I'll even take it a step further, because you don't have to be in business to necessarily connect with this. I'll use the type A personality. And so these people are driven. So we write about that. It's one of the first discoveries that we had is that you are driven. And you have this gene. There's a book called Driven, actually, by Dr. Douglas Brackman that really expands on this concept. But I'll just keep it very simple in that we have this gene and it doesn't essentially fire the same as it does in the rest of the humans in this world. It's a small percentage of the overall population, somewhere around 10%. And for those of us that are driven or even potentially type A personalities, we are go, go, go. We have a million ideas a minute. And when we are surrounded by people, we are wondering why they can't keep up with us. So it's like, I'm a runner. So I always have this vision that I'm running and I'm looking behind me and I'm saying, come on, catch up. What's the deal? Why are you having such a hard time running at my pace? But the truth is, as a driven person, people just can't keep up with you. And so it's important to realize that, because you will leave a black trail behind you if you don't. And that's what we learned about the driven, is they do leave a black trail behind them, and they're just not aware of why this is happening. If you think about the population of the world, somewhere around 8 billion, I guess. And if it's 10%, that leaves about 800 million people who are driven. And that could be in all types of industries or different modalities, could be in science, could be in people who are doctors, people who are in business, like we write about. So it's a smaller percentage. And thank goodness, because if there were more, the world might actually be a crazy place. There's not enough room for all these driven people. So bringing this around to me and recognizing that I was driven and not really having the awareness of how to harness that was something that was important. And then being able to learn how we can harness it so we can be very aware of where our strengths are and how to use them best and not disrupt the humans that are around us that are very important to us in our lives.
Well, it sounds like there are some positive characteristics of being driven, but it also sounds like not only do you leave people in the dust, you also have some challenges with dealing with your own drivenness. I mean, that's what I got from the book, that there are a lot of things that you miss out on, and that being driven or being a type A personality might cloud your perspectives on some things. And that's where you got into, how do we teach people to become more self-aware? How do we teach people to understand the characteristics that are good and those that are a little more disturbing or even toxic to them?
We talk about the importance of understanding yourself, and that begins by going inside. The subtitle is How Looking Inward is the Key to Unlocking True Entrepreneurial Freedom. But sometimes we insert leadership. And again, I think it applies to anybody who's highly driven in whatever it is that they're doing in their lives. And in the work that we do, and when we teach people different ways to approach their lives, we encourage them, for example, to take time off. And what that means is not thinking about work the entire time that they are taking the time off. And I bring that up just as an early example in our conversation, because this is where people start to understand themselves better. Because the driven, they look at me funny, like, what do you mean not think about work? What am I supposed to do? So I say, there's a whole world out there. What do you mean? What are you supposed to do? So we actually take them through exercises where they start to write down things that they might do that aren't work related. So this idea of understanding yourself is really important. And I love that one about taking time off, because it's so hard for people. They go on vacation and they're checking their emails a few times a day. Why? Why can't you turn it off? What does that say about you? So we go deeper into that. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I think a lot of people that do that because they're trying to anticipate getting back to work and having 500 emails. So in some ways, it's a way to mitigate stress in the future.
Yes. But. I always like to ask, like you do, by the way, you're the greatest question asker. I love the way you think. But yes, I like to ask entrepreneurs, what's the stress that you're trying to mitigate? In other words, you're going to have to deal with this at some point. You can be stressed on your vacation, or you could be stressed when you get back. Because it's going to cause stress one way or the other. What does that say about you? What I think it says is the driven really enjoy dopamine hits, because we're never satisfied. So we're always looking for that next hit. And email, we're just talking about email right now. There's a million other things we could talk about, but email is a quick fix for that. Can I get my dopamine hit right now? And so that's where I always go with them is, are you looking for your dopamine hit?
We can all relate to that, because everybody has something that drives their dopamine. And for some people, it could be they need to go shopping. Why is that good or bad, going for that dopamine hit?
I don't know that it's good or bad. I'm not here to say that it is one or the other. What I always encourage the people that we work with, and hopefully the readers of the book will get this, is to just become aware, become more mindful of their habits, and really asking themselves, why here I am on this wonderful, I'll make it up, wonderful ski vacation with my family that we planned for a year, and we're gone for 7 days, and I'm in day two, and I'm on the chairlift, and I pull out my phone and I start looking at my email. I don't know.
It seems like it's habit in a way, too. There's some kind of an addictive quality to that. It's like a kid that reaches for Instagram, or all of us, when we need something to entertain our brains because we're not comfortable just sitting. Why is being driven correlated to success in the minds of so many people? You feel like if you've accomplished something, but you weren't driven towards it, maybe you don't get the full feeling of success. What is that correlation?
First, I would just say that there's a hustle philosophy out there. There's many thought leaders, successful business people that I see in the work that I do. I like to watch them talk about these things, and that they're not sleeping, taking maybe the greatest care of themselves. I see them doing little clips on social media from their private jets, and I have to tell you, they look pretty exhausted to me. But I don't know. I think the question that we're just posing to people for their own consideration is, what are you driven towards? You have this great thing. Being driven is great because you have a unique ability. You're a change maker. You're creative. You make things happen in this world. You make better widgets, better services. You send rockets to Mars. That's great. But the question is, what's the purpose behind it all? And what are you sacrificing to make it happen?
Yeah. And you talk a lot about the emptiness that often comes with success, and this numbing that happens when you're that driven. Why do you think that so many entrepreneurs still feel so empty? Is it because they're not paying attention to anything around them?
Yeah. I think that there's a misunderstanding of what's going to make them feel full. And so what we talk about is this idea where we're climbing the mountain. And when we get to the top of the mountain, we've accomplished something that's going to fulfill us. Yet time after time after time after time, when they get to the top of the mountain, it's not what they thought it would be. And they don't understand. It's like, what? I don't get it. Reality is there's no mountain. There's no mountain to climb. Yeah. So stop thinking you need to climb a mountain. There's no mountain to climb. You're just on a journey. Who knows where it will take you? And the things that you think you're going to get from it, whether it be notoriety, awards, money, things, special attention, et cetera, it never fulfills you. It never does. It only fulfills you for a short period of time. That's your dopamine hit. Then you feel sad and you don't understand. And that's because you're not getting your dopamine hit. So you go running back after it.
Yeah. We just had Dr. Robert Waldinger on our show, who wrote the book, The Good Life. And he's director of the Harvard Study of Adult Development. And they looked at, over the course of the last 86 years, not him, but it was handed to him, they looked at what makes a good life. And bar none, a lot of things are important. Nutrition, exercise, lots of things are important. But the single most important thing is the quality of your social connections. And I wonder how this relates to entrepreneurs who are the most driven entrepreneurs and are moving so quickly. They aren't connecting with people, humans, and that is in large part what drives their emptiness.
I think you have a great point there. And there are a lot of peer groups out there for business people, entrepreneurs, that they can join. I've been in them myself. And what I learned about them is there's a group of people, and to a certain degree, I'm speaking generally, but I have had a personal experience. These people have a suit of armor. And so they're talking about their business successes, maybe some of their challenges, and they're looking for collective intelligence on how they can solve these challenges so they can be more successful. But they never go to the root of what the real challenges are because they have their suit of armor on. And our hope in writing the book is that we start to have entrepreneurs, people eventually in leadership positions and even the world, where people start to understand the wonder of beginning to take off that suit of armor and how light that will feel when they truly can be their, as we write, their true selves. And in business, for some reason, there's a mask that's always on, or that suit of armor. And we want to take that off.
Yeah. And I think that's true in a lot of aspects of life.
It is.
Some of us carry armor and masks with us throughout our lives. Your book, what I loved about it is it was very clear in the way you laid out the foundation, which was about the true self, and then you went step by step through the 10 disciplines. You say there are three discoveries to get more in touch with your true self. And I think people want to understand some of the ways we talk about these things. What is a true self anyway? What does that mean?
I'll read you how we define it, if that's okay. So it's the real you. It's the most authentic version of who you are, and it's unshaped by societal expectations, professional roles, or social masks. It's the core identity that remains constant beneath the various quote unquote hats you wear in different areas of your life. And it's typically buried behind your ego, behind your personality, and the suit of armor, as I just mentioned, that you've developed over your lifetime, often because and due to pain, trauma, or conditioning.
Oh, interesting. That's a beautiful definition.
We spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah, I bet you did. I want to go straight to the trauma piece. Do you think that there's a correlation between people that are usually driven type A personalities with early trauma in life?
Yeah, we do. And I don't want to oversimplify any of this because, as you know, in the amazing work that you do, none of this is simple and it goes very deep. But One of the things that we see is that oftentimes entrepreneurs who are driven have had some very impactful event, like many others, by the way, in their life. And being an entrepreneur, starting your own business, taking that risk has a lot to do with gaining control, or what you believe will be control. So in other words, when you go work for somebody, you don't have control. They have control. They tell you when you need to be there and when you can leave and what they're going to pay you. But as an entrepreneur, you get to call the shots. So you get to be in what you believe to be control until you get going. And then you realize you have no control.
You have no control.
Yeah, but you think you do.
Yeah. So there are three discoveries you talk about in the book, that now that we understand what the true self is, maybe you can talk a little bit more about how we get to that true self, how we move towards that. And are those the three discoveries that you talk about?
The 10 disciplines create a foundation, a framework in your life, because without a strong foundation, as we all know, anything you put on top of it can start to make that foundation crumble again if it's not strong. So we start in the book at the end, if that makes sense. We show you where you're going, and then we show you how to get there at the end of the book. And those are the 10 disciplines. But I will mention the three discoveries chronologically so the listener can understand what you and I are saying here. So the first discovery that you and I already spoke about is I am driven. So you have awareness around that. The next is that decisions are made out of love or fear. Love, for us, we connect it to heart. In fear, we connect it to ego, but we always encourage the people we work with and the readers to find the words that resonate best with them. These just happen to be the words we're using. But one thing that's universal is that when I say this second discovery to people, I see them pause, think, and shake their head up and down. So they resonate. They see it. They have been making fear-based decisions for a very long time. This happens in business, things like fear of missing out, FOMO. Should I enter into a new market? Should I hire this person? Should I not hire this person? The typical entrepreneur makes 10 times more decisions than a person who's not in that role. And many of these decisions are significant. And so they can oftentimes get into a habit of coming from fear because they're afraid they'll make the wrong decision. And we have all kinds of really great stories in there of entrepreneurs that have done that. Now, when you come from love and you're coming from your heart, you're coming from your true self. So, okay, maybe this decision in your analytical mind won't have you hit the grand slam home run in business that you thought you would. So is that okay? Or do you think coming from fear and hitting the grand slam is better? We would argue, come from love, be your true self, and that's how you're going to find peace. You may not hit the grand slam, but then again, you may. Don't be afraid.
It makes sense that so many people make decisions based on fear, because one of our number one motivators is safety and security. And that sense of having more control over what might happen, or staying safe, or staying on a certain track. I think it must be hard for a lot of entrepreneurs to make that flip to making a decision out of love and maybe foregoing. In your research and with a lot of the people that you've worked with, I don't know if this would have to be a longitudinal study over a certain period of time, but when you make decisions from your heart, what is your quote unquote success rate versus when you make decisions from fear?
That's our human default. Give me the science behind that. Really? Do you need the science behind making a decision from your heart? Go find it. Patricia, let me give you an example, a business example, okay? Because this one I see all the time. Leadership role or as an entrepreneur, you have a person on your team and the person is great at what they do. And they have a lot of knowledge about your business and how things get done. But they're toxic. They do not fit your culture. They do not fit the values of the company. So I would ask, what would you do there? If you make your decision from fear, you leave them on the team because you're afraid if that person leaves, they're going to take all this information. And could you ever find somebody who could know all that and be able to do all that? So you allow the toxic person to stay in the culture and affect the people's experience of their work life at the company, because a toxic person can really make an impact on others that they're working with. Now, imagine making that decision from your heart, where you say, not only do I need somebody who understands the job and has the right knowledge, but they must fit our culture and our values. And if they don't, I have to come from my heart there, because that is what's best for the company and for the team. And I'm not afraid to go through a little challenging time as we try to find somebody who can replace this highly knowledgeable person in the company. So in that decision, it's simple.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. We talk about these often on Untangle. When we keep things bottled up inside, it can start to impact our health, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, whatever it is. If this sounds like you, and it's a bit of all of us, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule and needs. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now, over to Untangle. We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top-quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full-price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
Well, you come from your heart.
Yeah, I like to think of that as staying aligned with this bigger picture and not getting sucked in by all of the muck that is below that, because we deal with that in relationships too. And we have to pause. I mean, you know this, you're a mindfulness and meditation expert. Often something happens and maybe we feel that fear response or whatever our ego is directing, and we have to pause, be still, and come from a different place, knowing what our bigger intention is in life. So, yeah, I think that's really interesting. And then that third discovery is what we're talking about here. Is it possible to be driven, but maybe being driven from a place of love and have peace?
And peace. So we contend that it is possible to be driven and have peace, because when you are making your decisions from your true self, from love, you will have peace. And I would argue, and we contend, that you will make better decisions. You might not have to make as many decisions, because you are going to be so crystal clear about what matters most to you in your life. Example, there's a CEO of a company who every year, a big part of what they do is they have a big Super Bowl party at the actual Super Bowl. And the whole team goes there, and there's famous people that come. And again, it's very important to their business. Now, this person's child has an athletic event in another state on the same day. What to do? It's just one day. It's either Super Bowl or it's your kid's event. What do you do? You come from your heart. What's your true self telling you? Your authentic self. If this was your last moment on earth, what would you do? You would go to your daughter's or your son's athletic event. There's no question about it. Yet entrepreneurs just think in a different way sometimes. The driven just say, oh, it's just this one time. I'll just go out to the Super Bowl. It's not a big deal if I miss it. And maybe it's not. I'm not judging. I always like to just present these ideas for people to consider and see where it lands in their true self.
Yeah, it sounds like it starts with having this great awareness of who you are, who you want to be, where your values are. And then the decisions become a little bit easier. I mean, in the book, you do talk about self-awareness being at the foundation of everything. I like in the beginning of the book, you and Gino say that you're out to show the world that it's possible to be driven and have peace while making an impact. I feel like there are always choices we have to make. And you're right. We can't judge those choices because maybe in your example, you can go to the Super Bowl and you have 10 relatives that are going to go to your daughter's, I forget, was it a soccer game or something?
Just some athletic. Yeah, I was making it up.
And maybe it's the first of 10 soccer games. I mean, there's no black and white on that, but just being aware that you're making a decision that feels congruent with what you care most about. And for entrepreneurs and for people that are that driven, I think what you're saying is you really need to get in touch with what you care most about. And if you don't care about any of those things, then fine. This isn't the program for you.
Exactly.
So let's get into the 10 disciplines. Do you mind
Sure.
going through them? Because the idea is that these are the 10 disciplines. And you already know that I was at question a few of them. But these are the 10 disciplines for maximizing impact and inner peace, specifically for entrepreneurs. But you and I have discussed that this applies to a lot of people.
And I just want to add, it also has to do with energy. And I'm not talking about your physical energy. I'm talking about the energy that you exude in the world. We are all pure energy and it's flowing through us. And sometimes we vibrate high and sometimes we vibrate low, and we want to vibrate as high as possible. And so these disciplines create a foundation for you. And the first one is 10-year thinking. And we encourage people to shift their thinking and shift their mind from short-term thinking to thinking in 10-year timeframes, because when they do that, time slows down and then you make better decisions. And so 10-year thinking isn't goal setting and it isn't manifesting. It's just being really clear about what you see in the future and then coming back to the present moment and saying, is this aligning with what I see in the future? Like, is my action at this moment the right action to align with what I see in the future?
But how do you do that? Because some people are going to think, oh, this is the job I want in 10 years, or I want to have $1 million in the bank or whatever it is. Some people are going to think, and maybe this is different at different chapters in your life, different decades, different stages. Some people are going to think, who do I want to be? I want to be a philanthropist. I want to be a dog trainer, whatever. But who do I want to be as a human being? Versus what do I want to be doing? Like, how do you craft your 10-year thinking model?
Actually, we encourage people to do exactly what you said. Some people want some level of success or some things, or sometimes it's all of it. But part of it, and that part of what we really encourage them to do, is what do I want to be? How do I want my relationships to be? Because if you want to be a dog trainer in 10 years, just to use your example, so what are the actions that you're taking today to move in that direction? And you just ask yourself, am I doing the things that align with that? Am I aware of that? I really would like to see that come to fruition in my life. And by the way, if in 2 years from now you say, and this happens all the time, I thought I wanted to be a dog trainer, but actually I really don't. That's an amazing thing that just happened. That's amazing. You just realized something you always wondered about. Now you don't have to wonder about it anymore.
Exactly. All right, good. And there's a lot more detail in the book about how to actually put a plan together. And I like that you said you can change your mind, because I do think
you can change your mind.
Change your mind anytime. And it's a good thing because you have a foundation from which to change. I love that one.
Exactly. And it just keeps getting clearer and clearer.
Now, this one for people that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, earlier in their careers, earlier in entrepreneurs, this next one is going to be a little bit of a surprise.
Take time off. So we encourage everyone to take 130 days off per year and not think about work the entire time. So before everyone gets freaked out about that, I always like to remind them that if you took every weekend off and every US holiday plus 3 weeks vacation, that would be darn near 130 days. So I hope that you are taking weekends off, but you're probably not. If you're normal, especially if you're driven, you're probably working in some capacity or checking emails or reading business books or something. Same thing on holidays. And on vacation, when you go to that wonderful Caribbean island and you're at the beach, you're probably reading some business book to improve your business skills or something. And what we contend is you've got to turn it off. You have to. You have to allow time for your mind to settle and your body to recharge. And they're all connected, as you so well know, Patricia. And so the hard part, once people understand the weekend, holiday, 3 weeks vacation part of it, they go, oh, okay. The hard part is actually not thinking about work. And that's what we work with people. And we, like you say in the book, there are different exercises that we give them to go through to think about this and be able to set it up so they can be successful.
Do you think the risk is that if people take too much time off, they'll lose momentum for their work?
That is the number one thing people are afraid of. Back to, and I always get to come back to, discovery number two. Decisions are made from love or fear. Guess what? I'm afraid I'm going to lose momentum. Okay, so you're deciding to keep work going because you fear you're going to lose momentum. Are you really going to? I don't know. I think it's worth pausing, as you so greatly pointed out. Bring awareness to the situation and maybe reframe it. See it through a different lens. Change your behaviors.
All right.
Keep going?
Yes, please.
Know thyself.
Can't argue with that one. Can't argue with that.
No, got to know that. You got to be you. That's being your true self. 24/7, 365. Be still. You're my favorite one. Sit in silence for at least 30 minutes every day. You and I have a meditation practice. That's one thing we teach. But there are many other ways to do this. We even encourage people to, if meditation's challenging for them, they can use journaling as one way of form of being still, contemplation, prayer, whatever works for you. We're not prescribing anything. We're just encouraging you to sit in stillness for 30 minutes.
Could you also be in nature? I mean, does it have to be still? And if yes, why?
I personally think that in stillness is a time where we are alone with our thoughts. And I have a favorite quote from Anne Lamott, which is, "My mind is like a bad neighborhood. I try to never go there alone." And that's why it's hard to be in stillness, I believe, for people. And you and I teach meditation, so we know that. And in nature, they're moving. There's lots of things to look at and things to wonder about, which is beautiful. I encourage, go do that by all means. Go into nature. I think it's very meditative, but I think there's a lot of power in being stillness, recognizing our thoughts, becoming an observer of our thoughts, and just noticing our loops, and then trying to come back to the present moment, I think is a very useful skill to cultivate in our lives.
Awesome. Awesome. And then the next one is know you're 100%.
Yeah. So here we challenge people and we teach them how to do this, which is to decide on and commit to the perfect number of hours per week and weeks per year that they'll deliver their greatest value to the world. So this is about impact. And so where's the tipping point for you, not you, Patricia, but you as the listener, where's the tipping point in how many hours that you work per week where you're just not as strong as you were before then? So let's just use a typical work week, 40 hours per week. Okay. So for many of the driven, they're working like 80 hours per week. But where's the tipping point? Is it at 40? Is it at 50? Is it at 30? For me, it's 37 and a half. Like, I'm no good if I'm over 37 and a half hours per week. And that's just where I am in my life right now. I'm 54. So when I was younger, I was able to work more hours and still work at a high level. Key thing here is, though, what we want you to do is really get focused on the things that matter most that make the greatest impact. Unfortunately, we end up doing and spending time on a lot of things that just aren't impactful. And those segue into some of these disciplines as we keep going. The next one is say no often, and that's discipline number six. And we are very much wired in our society to say yes to most things. We feel bad. We feel guilty. We don't want to disappoint people. We're pleasers. And it's hard to say no. But when we're looking at the totality of our life, both in business and in our personal lives, and we get really clear about what matters most, really clear about our true self, we start to recognize actually bodily sensations that send messages to us that this is not in alignment with what I want out of my life. And so now we teach you how to say no gracefully. And you can very much do that. You can be useful to the world. It isn't just showing up and saying, no, sorry, too bad. It's about saying, no, I'm sorry, not now or never, but here's something that you can think about, or here's a way I can help you get what you're looking for. And then you're focused on, because now you have more time because you've said no, you are focusing on the things that matter most and make the greatest impact.
It's like setting boundaries. You're helping people to set that. Yeah.
You're exactly right. This is all about first understanding ourselves. So part of saying no is understanding, why do I say yes to all these things? Then you see it on your calendar and you're like, why did I say yes to that? That was, I'm so dreading this. We don't want that in our lives, yet we deal with it. Why? You don't need to. And so understanding ourselves and then setting that boundary. And the next one, which is discipline number seven, don't do $25 an hour work. And there we say, never do anything that you could pay someone $25 an hour to do. Now, first, let me caveat this, because $25 an hour work is not bad work. There's people in the world that desire that work. And we're just encouraging you not to do work below your pay grade, really, is what we're saying. Why? Because this is an opportunity for you to focus on, as I'm a broken record, what matters most, delegating and elevating. When you elevate, you're working at a higher level. And when you're working at a higher level, this is when you make more impact in the world. So we encourage entrepreneurs, leaders, or anything that you're doing, just take a hard look at, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? This also takes on, in our personal lives, there's a certain component to it. For example, I'll just use myself as a simple example. Many, many years ago, decades ago, when I purchased my first home, I also purchased a lawnmower, and I would spend the good part of each Saturday morning in the summers in Michigan mowing my lawn. And the whole time I was in a bad mood and thinking about all the other things I could be doing and I should be doing, but instead I was mowing the lawn and not doing a very good job at it, by the way. So why? Why did I feel like I needed to do that? That came from my past and the way I grew up and what it meant to how I would spend money and how I should be spending my time. But when I was able to reframe that, I understood that my time was more valuable, even if I was just recharging and doing nothing. And so I always like to use that as a simple example. But I also like to finish this point by saying, if you enjoy mowing the lawn, please do it, because it brings you joy. And I want you to do that.
You and I have talked about this. My darling partner loves to do things for other people and be of service. If it's snowing, he's shoveling the driveway of his 80-year-old neighbor's house, and he's president of his company. If there's something that needs to be painted, he's going to paint it on a wall that is chipped. And I think it gives him a sense of pride and service. So I think what you're saying is maybe that's not the best use of his time, but also if there's a higher purpose for doing these things, that might be okay.
More than might be. It's totally okay, because this isn't a judgment zone. This is a framework. It's a foundation that you build, and then you customize it for how it works best for you. But in your time being still, we always encourage you to bring awareness to what you're doing and why you're doing it so you can get really clear and you just don't convince yourself that, well, this is why, because I'm being of service to people and that's important, but I hate doing it. Well, if you hate doing it and it's not really making the greatest impact, then you really need to start questioning that and start looking at your life through a different lens and being open to that using a beginner's mind. But again, if you feel it's in alignment, then keep doing it. I totally encourage that.
I think it's a really interesting point. If someone did go a little bit deeper into their why, what they might find.
We always encourage that deeper look. Yeah, it's always don't look at it at the surface. Keep understanding yourself better, challenging yourself. It can be exhausting, I will admit, but it's worth it, I promise.
Peel back those layers. Okay, next.
So the next three, I'll just cruise through. Prepare every night. This is simply a 5-minute exercise. Before your head hits the pillow every night, just document the next day's plan. Look at your calendar, look at what's going on. And while you're sleeping, your subconscious will go to work for you. Think it'll start coming up with solutions to challenges you've had. It'll start coming up with creative ideas that you couldn't have even imagined would come. And just by setting your mind up for what's happening tomorrow, all too often driven entrepreneurs, leaders, people in their life, they just get up and let the day take control of them. And so preparing every night is important. The next is discipline number 9, which is put everything in one place. And here we encourage everybody to pick one place that you will capture every idea, commitment, thought, action item, and promise as you go through your day. So this can be as simple as a journal or a yellow legal pad, or I use this thing called a Remarkable. It's like a legal pad, but it's electronic. I can just write notes on it very quickly. And so what that does for you is it organizes all this stuff that's happening to you and that's coming at you throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, you take a look at your one place. You don't have to go looking anywhere else. And you look at your notes, you look at the action items, the promises you've made, et cetera, and you disseminate them. You put them in the right place. You either add it to your calendar or to your to-do list or wherever it needs to go so you don't drop the ball to the people that matter most to you in your life. Those could be family members or it could be people in your professional life. And the last one, discipline number 10, is be humble. And this is where you view yourself as an equal to every other person on the planet. And what we do here is we encourage people to imagine a line or actually draw a line. And on one side of it is as humble as you could get. And on the other side is not humble at all. And you just put a little check mark where you fall on that line. If I know your listeners well, most of them are probably very far on the humble side. But now comes the big challenge. Ask the 5 people closest to you in your life to do the same thing, to put a check mark on that line and then see where it lines up. And that'll start to tell you a little bit about how humble you really are. We had one client who was very far, who ranked himself very far on that line and then went to those 5 people and he found out that he was actually very far on the other line. And quite frankly, it brought him to tears. And it was so beautiful to see him open up to the awareness of what was really happening in his life, which he was asleep to all these many, many years. And the last part of being humble is, and we could have called this be grateful, but we decided on humble. So we never met a humble person who didn't express gratitude in some way, shape, or form every single day. And so being grateful is a big part of being humble.
Wow, wow, wow. Let me ask you, this is, I think, the last question. It was such a great way to explain the 10 disciplines. I really appreciate that. How would your life have been different if you followed the 10 disciplines, let's say, 20 or 30 years ago when you started as an entrepreneur?
So I have been following them pretty exclusively for about 20. So I'll go before then and I'll tell you exactly what my life was like. And you and I've had this conversation. It was a mess. I was wound so tight. I had no time to think. I was trying to juggle my family and my business and my business partnerships and my friendships, and none of it was going well. I was all over the place. I could not calm my mind. I didn't understand my clear priorities. I could go on. When I talk about it, I picture my mind and I picture scribbles all over the place. It just feels that way to me. And so when I began incorporating these disciplines into my life, all the things that we've spoken about today really helped me create that stronger foundation, that clarity, and really leading me to my true self. And Be Still, as you and I both know, for me, was one of the most impactful things in my life. And that's simply my meditation practice.
This has been amazing. I often think about when we're born, we should get a set of operating instructions. How do we live? How should we live? What is this thing called being a human, and how do we navigate it? And so I feel like these 10 disciplines, not maybe when you're born, but it's a fantastic thing to get as you're entering the work world, being an entrepreneur, nonprofits, whatever work you're doing. I think it can be so helpful. So I really love the book, and I'm so excited for it to come out into the world and for the work that you're doing to be known. So thank you so much. I'm grateful for you, Rob. It's amazing.
Thank you, Patricia. And it's a love fest, because you know how much I love you and how grateful I am that you're part of my life. It's such a gift that you have come into my life all those years ago, and I'll never be able to truly communicate how much you mean to me.
Aww, it is a love fest. All right, take care.
Thanks so much for being with us today. For more about Rob, check out robdubay.com. His book, Shine, is available at all major booksellers. Any questions, suggestions, comments, reach out to us at untangle@choosemuse.com. And we'd love, if you have time, to write a review for us. It helps a lot. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.